especially women's sport, there was nothing.
Refugees are just ordinary people.
More women have now stepped up.
The generation behind us can see what is available to them and what they can achieve.
We would want to be just like everybody else, have a life, have a meaningful life.
I've got to stand by and allow the next generation to take my seat at the table.
Welcome to Best of Herstory, an International Women's Day special cherry-picking some of our favourite conversations with WA Women's Hall of Fame inductees. The conversations you are about to hear come as part of a special RTRFM series, which you can restream in full wherever you get your podcasts. There will be laughs and tears, but most of all, you'll feel the fire that inspired these women to alter the course of history. First up, we welcome AFLW Wellbeing Manager of the West Coast Eagles, Jan Cooper, chatting about the life of a female athlete.
So I'm the AFLW Wellbeing Manager, which basically entails ensuring that the players are the best version of themselves. So that encapsulates supporting them mentally with whatever's happening in their lives, providing education pieces to them, looking at menstrual phases and how they can get the best out of themselves when they're in menstrual phases that aren't too flash for an elite athlete. Things like sleep education, all sorts of strategies to help them really thrive. Because our mantra is we would like them to leave a better version of themselves if that's possible, and we'll do everything to facilitate that.
What's the significance of providing that to professional athletes and to professional female athletes?
Oh, it's hugely important, providing that wellbeing program, simply because they have such a busy life. They are, most of them are pursuing their off-grass career or studying to do so. And then they come to training. So they have whatever their career hours are and study hours, and then they have football. And then we're trying to help them to balance up being at home, being with family and friends, having self-care, which is so important. And you realise that pre-season and in-season, it's just full on for them. So that's why it's absolutely crucial to support them the way we do. But also too, I've worked out over the years that it's all very well doing the body and the craft when you're an elite athlete and supporting them that way. But the missing piece to the puzzle is what's between the ears. And more so now with social media and the extra scrutiny and, you know, those keyboard cowards who like to just throw out disparaging and disrespectful comments without even having lived in the shoes of any of these athletes. So the mind is so important. So we do a huge mindfulness program as well to help them be more present and clear a space and give them some calm time to really just be still and then, you know, give themselves a bit of a refreshment to go on to the next part of their busy lives.
Before we let you go, Jan, we do have to talk about your achievements and your awards and all the lovely things that have been said about you and awarded to you. One of those, which I think is one of the most impressive things, is about how many people, and I want to get the numbers right, many people have credited your leadership for the increase in national female participation in football from 16,000 to over 640,000 women.
It's probably more like 500,000. It could be okay. At 640,000 now, but when I left the AFL, it was around about 500,000. So I'll get that part right for you.
That's huge.
That's still huge, yes. Well, there was not much there, though. It was quite serendipitous. You know, for me to write that email, for the men to read it and go, all right, well, you can be the national manager. Everybody else that had to help with that, I couldn't have done it without the Samantha Mostyns of the world and each of the states and territories who had dedicated female football development managers who were outstanding people and really good at their job.
Introducing our next guest, Australian Ambassador for UNACR, Dr. Karina Huang, about refugee advocacy and her lived experience as a refugee.
I am the ambassador for Australia for UNHCR since 2012. And UNHCR basically is an organization that established in the 50s after World War II to assist refugees, to give them protections and help them to resettle in different countries.
And so can you tell us a bit about how that came about for you? How did you become involved, and why is it important that you continue to stay involved?
After I published my book, Boat People, I was approached by the Australia for UNHCR office in Sydney to do a book launch of my book. And they have a yearly literary luncheon, and they would choose a book that was written by a refugee or for refugees to celebrate it. And they chose my book, and we met for the first time. We launched the book. We did very well, and my story started to gain awareness. And then I was appointed the special rep. Since then, I was extremely happy when they asked me to do that, because it was an opportunity for me to give back. And I felt very honored. And I have been their rep since 2012.
And through that work, you've been able to obviously interact with a lot of refugee families and help them resettle here. It must be really nice at the end of the day when you get to hang up the phone or drive away from one of those families that have resettled in Australia, to know that you have been able to truly give back and give to them knowledge and experience that you have also had yourself, that not many other Australians would be able to give and help them with.
A lot of my work involved advocating for refugees. I'm giving voices to refugees. I help the public to understand more about the plight of refugees, and I help the UNHCR to promote what they do, to help people understand their roles, what their needs are, and how others can help them. And also I participate in fundraising activities to help the UNHCR to have the funding to provide the basic needs to refugees globally. We have the highest number of refugees since the World War II, and the numbers keep on growing. Right now, we are particularly appealing for the Afghanistan refugees, in addition to the millions others. And it's come to show that the world will never stop having refugees. People will always have, many people would have to flee their country for safety.
Lastly, we want to share with you the story of partner in farming, Marg Anew, about being a woman in agriculture and the hope for the next generation.
And also, I'd like to just have the opportunity to say I am in awe and admiration, and I'm being really sincere about the next generation of farmers. And I know I'm biased, but having been involved for decades, I think this generation is the most motivated and they're moving forward, and I'm really excited about where agriculture will be.
I'm so excited. You just made me feel like I need to go and investigate this entire
industry. But I'm sorry, I've got goosebumps. You know, we just see so much improvement, and the sincerity of the farmers. And, you know, with that has created wealth, so they've bought, you know, more farms. But that takes a huge amount of management, and at this time with labour. But they're getting around it.
Do you get into bed at night now and you just take a breath and go, oh, it's going to be all right. This next generation have got it covered.
Yes, yes. I always have, and I think people have said to me, oh, you've got to adapt to climate change. I think we've adapted in all aspects of change. And so it's just second nature to us to adapt. It's hard, but there's research happening, and there's just a desire to work with what we can't control.
You've been listening to a special broadcast of Herstory, Tales on Women Inductees in the WA Women's Hall of Fame. Make sure you catch the full lineup of wonderful women, including psychologist Tracy Westerman, writer Estelle Blackburn, and archivist Margaret Medcalf, wherever you get your podcasts.